Amen. Amen. What's up, family? How you doing? Let's go. Hey, can I have all y'all stand up? Welcome to The Rock. Happy birthday to all of you. I know some of you weren't born when we started, but thank you for coming today. Amen. And praise God that there are some people here that young. So I am so honored to be pastor, so honored to take this journey for 25 years. Seen a lot of stuff. Before I pray, I want to acknowledge a few people because 41 years ago, I met some kids, some Filipino kids, Jeff Bustos, Alicia, Anita. How you doing, my love? These my little Filipino kids in my neighborhood that were throwing beer bottles on my lawn when they were in high school. And they got saved. They got saved. They were 15, 13, 14. We started Bible study at my house, and that's how all this started. And now they're here. So love y'all. Love y'all. Annie, you were on the other side of the ocean. But and little Tori wasn't even born. Oh, my God. Look at that little thing. But it's such a blessing to be here. This was built, obviously, on Jesus Christ, but it started with those kids right there. And let's pray, and then we're going to get into it. I got a challenging message for you as normal. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Love you, God. Thank you, God, for right now. We're not promised tomorrow, but we have right now to focus on our Savior and our Lord who's changed our life. And the only Savior and God who offers eternal life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a big hug next to you. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19. And let me say, next week, obviously we have an 8, a 10, and a 12 o'clock now, so for as many of y'all who feel comfortable either coming to the 8 o'clock or the 11 o'clock, we have people in overflow right now. We want to say hello to all those people. We see you out there. We got people still driving up. But next week, if you feel comfortable and you're up, come to the 8 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service so we can make room and spread the people out. 12. It's a long day, baby. It's a long day. Got one more service after this. Yeah, my mind is, it's a lot. Happy. Yesterday, my wife and I were at a smoothie place, and as we were walking in, there was this young kid. He was probably about 12, had his bicycle out standing outside of Starbucks, and he was talking to a young girl who was about 12, and she had a little baggy pants, a little cute outfit, and they were just standing there talking, you know, just chopping it up. And I was like, look at my man getting his rap on, you know what I'm saying? And she's like, it's probably his sister. I'm like, that ain't his sister. They can talk at home, you know what I'm saying? So it was just so cute watching them. They were just standing, you know, like 4 feet away, just standing there talking. It was so like little mature adults. And how they handle that conversation is based on their psychosocial development up to that point. Psychosocial development is the development and the interaction between your mental and emotional state and your social interactions. And if you have healthy psychosocial development, you can handle rejection, you can handle acceptance. But if you don't, you might freak out at the simplest thing. And you may have even been talking with people and you see something happen and they freak out at something very simple. And you wonder, why is that? It's because of their psychosocial development isn't as where maybe it should be. So I'm gonna take you through 8 stages of psychosocial development as my introduction, by the way. And I want to take you through the 8 stages, but I'm going to focus on the 7th and 8th stage because that's what we're talking about today as far as legacy. Number one, the first stage is trust versus mistrust. When a young baby is born, the baby is, the only thing a baby's thinking about is, can I trust my environment? Am I warm? Am I fed? Am I loved? Am I safe? Is it quiet? And there's a struggle between them trusting their environment and not trusting their environment. And if trust wins, they have hope. If trust doesn't win, they have a sense of mistrust. The next stage, as you get older, is a stage of autonomy versus shame. In other words, am I a single person? Do I have autonomous where I can do things, or do I have shame? Guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is I am something wrong. There must be something wrong with me if I wasn't protected when I was a little kid. And if you succeed in that level, If autonomy overcomes shame, you have a strong personal will. You have a desire and an ability to say, I am going to do something. The third stage, the initiative versus guilt, have you developed to a place where you can take initiative without people having to push you to do something? Or do you have a high sense of guilt? And if you overcome that stage and are victorious in that stage and you develop, you have a sense of purpose. The fourth stage is industry versus inferiority. Industry says, I'm going to pursue a project. I'm going to build something. Or you have the sense of being inferior where, let someone else do that, just tell me what to do. That person has competence if they have a high level of industry. The fifth stage is identity versus confusion. This is where the term identity crisis comes, because this is actually a crisis. Whether you have come to a place where you understand who you are, what is your identity, or you're confused about your identity. I was talking to a young lady recently who used to mess around with guys that weren't at the level that she should have been with, that she has come to now learn the value that she has. And now she's saying, wait a minute, I don't need to stoop down to those guys' level. I have a clear identity and my value, so I'm not going to settle anymore. Can I get an amen? Amen. So as you develop through your life, you have these struggles between these two identities and two perspectives of who you are. If identity wins over confusion, you have fidelity. Fidelity is pureness in who you are. God said, I am that I am. He knows who he is. You need to know who you are. You need to know what God has planned for your life. The sixth stage is intimacy. Now, intimacy is sharing your innermost self with someone. If you don't have clear identity, you can't have the highest level of intimacy because you're not sharing who you are because you don't know who you are. So you have false intimacy. You think intimacy is physical. It's much more than physical, it's spiritual. And so if you really want to have intimacy and have love, you have to know who you are. If you want to know who you are, you have to go through all these stages. And by the way, if your life has been messed up, God can restore all of this. Come on, sir. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. But intimacy struggles with isolation. Either I'm going to share myself or I'm going to isolate myself. And if you get to a point where you can actually become intimate, then you can express love. The seventh and eighth are where I want to focus. The seventh stage is generativity versus stagnation. Generativity is this feeling and this commitment to give yourself away, to invest in something that's going to outlive you. When you're young, it's all about you. I want to get mine. I want to get likes. I want to get money. I want to get the girls. I want to get the car. I want to get the house. It's all about me. Say it's all about me. But it ain't. And you don't realize that till you get older. And then when you get to get older in your 50s and 60s, generativity kicks in and you say, you know what? I want to invest in the next generation. I want to invest money. I want to invest my opportunities, my open doors, my wisdom. You see people putting their names on buildings. They put money in an investment or a hospital or a school because they want their name to live on. The Bible says that God put eternity in our heart. We all understand there's something more to life than this life. But when we get older, we realize, man, I don't want my life, I don't want to die. I don't want my memory to be gone. So we start investing in things that are going to outlive us. That's generativity versus stagnation. If you get to a point where you could actually say, well done, good and faithful servant, and you can invest in something beyond you, that's generativity. Now we're talking about legacy. That's the first part of legacy. Being able to invest in something and pass something on that is useful for other people. That is connected to the eighth stage. The eighth stage is ego integrity versus despair. Now, when I say ego integrity, I don't mean cockiness integrity. Ego is I understand who I am, I'm confident. That's not a bad thing. Because a bad thing when it gets overblown, you start throwing it on people. But ego integrity is that I now know who I am. I'm clear about who I am. And I can rest to say, I've fought the good fight. God says, well done, good and faithful servant. And at your eighth stage, right before you die or when you get older, you start to ask yourself, did I do the right thing? And there's a battle between ego integrity saying, I did the right thing, and I didn't do the right thing. That's why it says ego integrity versus despair. So people have been asking me, hey, what have you been feeling as you get to the 25? And I've been thinking about this. Ego integrity versus despair. Now, understand this. We have, this is Legacy Sunday. This is not my legacy. This is not the legacy of the church, the Rock. It's the legacy of Jesus. Because all of us have been called to promote his legacy. Can I get amen? Amen. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, are all of us doing what we are supposed to do to establish his legacy? People knowing about Miles or Jim or whatever who you are does them no good. What we want them to know is that Jesus died and rose from the dead and offers them a whole new life and an opportunity to fix and correct all this dysfunction that the world has put us through. Can I get amen? And so people would ask me, what are you thinking? And I've had sadness that I didn't know what it was. And then I was even telling my staff the other day, listen, I have a lot of flaws. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know that. And I want to apologize to you for if my flaws have hurt you. And I need you to pray for me. But all of us in here, really the question we have to ask ourselves, especially if this is your church, is that why are we here? Why does the church exist? Because the reason we're here and the reason the church exists, that is the legacy that we all need to surrender our lives to do and to fulfill, not our own legacy. It's not about you building a business or you having a clothing line. That's not the legacy. Now, not that you don't do that for your kids, great, but the highest, most important, valuable, critical legacy that we all need to sell our lives to, and I say sell our souls, just give our lives to, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead for people who are lost. I'm gonna read something to you, Luke chapter 19. Don't get it twisted, please understand. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Can I get amen? Let me tell you, there is only one reason. Now you may say, oh, we hear this all the time. That's all you're gonna hear. Nothing else is gonna save you. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. I didn't come for you to build big buildings. If that's a means to an end, great. I didn't come for you to so people can hear you preach. If that's a means to an end, great. I didn't come to hear you, you know, have sell records and all that stuff. That's all great. But as long as lost people are hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that they can understand it and transform their life. I was using cocaine. My wife was just up here. We were broke up. I had no kids. And God's the one who got us together. God saved my soul, got us together. We had little kids. I don't got no baby mamas out there. I don't. Not that I know of, you know what I'm saying? Not that I know of. I was in church. True story. I was in church. 20-something years ago, we used to have a church at Montezuma Hall in San Diego State, and this lady taps me on the shoulder in church. She taps me on the shoulder. She got a baby next to her. True story. And I go, how you doing? She says, meet Miles. I was like, and I was like, do I know you? She's like, no. We just named it after you. I was like, cool. Like, whoo. Ain't no Billie Jean up in here. You know what I'm saying? Three simple points. Number one, this is what we're committed to. And this is, as we start our next 25 years, we want to help you know Jesus. Number one, we want to help you know Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you. This is Jesus talking. The true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We are going to do the best we can to help you know Jesus Christ. Not only receive him, we're gonna see in a minute, but walk with him. I was lost, I was sitting in my car after I accepted the Lord and saw this young lady, I talked to Alicia's brother, sitting in the car, and I called him in the house and he got saved. I said, go get your sister. He brought that lady over to my house. And she was like 13 years old, about 13 pounds. And I said, you need Jesus. She said, okay. I said, go get your friends. It is about Jesus Christ transforming people's lives. That's number one. We've been doing that. But number two is where you come in. Look what it says. We are going to train and equip you to share Jesus Christ. I've been preaching my guts out for 40 years, and I'm going to preach my guts out until I die. That's right. But, and I appreciate it. Go ahead, you know, whatever. Go ahead. However, it's time now to equip you to share your faith. Jesus says, I came to seek and save the lost. If you're following me, you must be doing the same thing. So here's my question to you. Raise your hand if you have somebody in your life, and if you're in the community room, raise your hand if you have somebody in your life who needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. Elbow above the ear. Let me see it. Reach to the heavens. Okay. Now, leave your hand there. I just want to talk to you for a minute. Leave your hand there, please. There's people in your life, and I know there's more than one, who if they die today will go to hell, and you have the only thing that can save them, and you've had it for a long time, and you never told them. Maybe you have. That's my next question. But there's people in your life, and I promise you, keep your hands up. If you get tired, just switch. I promise you. Now, raise your hand. You can put your hands down. Raise your hand if you are saying, Lord, I would love, hear my words, I would love to be able to share the gospel with those people in a way that they would receive it. Okay? Keep your hands up. Look around the room. Okay, so if you put your hands up here in church, I'm going to challenge you to put your money where your mouth is, because we have a training to train you. Keep your hands up, please. Don't see everybody. I just want to be really, 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 really clear why we are here. We have been working on something for 2 years to equip you to share your faith in a way. Are you going to be scared? You're going to be scared just because the devil don't want you to do it. But is it going to be rewarding and the most incredible thing you ever did? 100%. 100%. Okay, so here's what we're going to teach you. Put your hands down. I'm going to tell you what the training is going to teach you. Number one, it's going to teach you how to write your testimony and share your testimony. Simple. My passion in life is to make complicated things simple. I don't always do that, but my idea is like, let's talk about racism. No one wants to talk about racism? I'll figure it out, make it simple. We're going to talk about sharing your faith. We'll make it simple. So number one, you're going to learn how to share your faith and share your testimony and develop your testimony. Like that. Can someone snap with me? Say like that. Like that. Number two, you're going to learn the gospel nine, which is the gospel based on nine words. We're going to teach you. Say like that. Like that. You're going to learn how to share the gospel, the salvation ABCs. If someone says, I want to ask Christ to be my Savior, you're going to tell them, boom, boom, boom. Matter of fact, all throughout the training, you're going to be trained to ask. Say ask.
Ask.
The person you're talking to. I prayed a prayer that was as simple as ABC when I accepted the Lord. Would you mind if I shared with you what it is? And if they say no, guess what? You say, okay. You ain't arguing. But if they say yes, you take them through the prayer that we're going to teach you. My granddaughter, who is just up here, she is in the video helping train you to say ABC. She ain't two. And then once you share what you said, once you share your ABC prayer that you said, then you're going to share, say to them, would you like be open to saying a prayer for yourself? And if they say no, you say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And that's it. But if they say yes, oh, snap. Now, I'm going to tell you as a trained professional, I am a trained professional at sharing my faith. There are people in your life today that if you ask them that question, they would say yes. Right now, they are one question away. So you're going to learn how to share your testimony. You're going to learn how to share the gospel. You're going to learn how to lead someone in salvation prayer. And I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, you walk by people every day that you know that if you ask them that question, they would say yes. And then there are other people who say no. And guess what? You will still have 10 fingers and 10 toes after that. Your life ain't over. And guess what's going to happen? Some of those people are going to come back to you on the roundabout and say, hey, what was that thing you were telling me about? Oh, for sure. So my story is your testimony, gospel nine, ABCs, and lastly, fire drill. Fire drill, we're going to teach you what to do if people criticize you. People make fun of you. People call you a hypocrite. There is something so easy. Everyone say easy. Say, oh my goodness. Easy that you could say to them multiple things. We're going to teach you how to deal with that stuff where you're going to be like, go ahead and say something because you're going to have a tool that's going to make it so simple. That's what I'm saying to you. So how many of y'all got someone in your life that needs to be saved? Okay, how many of y'all say, man, I wish I could help them get saved? Okay, let's see the hands. Come on now. Don't be chomping out on me now. Okay, so get your phones out. Please get your phones out. Here's what you're going to do. We are starting the training in 2 weeks. If you're a small group leader, we have a training to train you in 1 week, but All of us, we're going to start the training in 2 weeks. You can take the training online with your gospel partner, because you're going to do it with somebody, your friend, your family, your spouse, whoever you want. And we're going to teach on Sunday an overview high level, but the training happens during the week. You could do it online with your friend, you could do it in a small group, or you could do it at a community group in all the campuses. Well, first thing you want to do is sign up a gospel partner. This is the person you're going to do it with. Okay, so you're going to get out your phone, text next steps to 52525. By the way, let me see all the phones that are if you're doing it, let me see all the phones. I should have enough phones that match all the hands that went up. Come on now. If your hand went up and your phone ain't going up, either you did it or God's going to visit you tonight in your room. He's going to be like, didn't you raise your hand twice? And so that means you're not going to do it because you're scared of what? And you're letting your friend go to hell? Okay, let me see the phones. Okay, great, 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 great. Okay, text, okay, run the video. Then you're going to type in next steps, and then the screen's going to come up, and you're going to see right in the middle of the screen, gospel partner. You put that video up. The video. Video, there we go. Right in the middle, gospel partner. You hit that gospel partner tab, and you're going to fill in your contact information. And after you fill in your contact information, at the bottom, it's going to say gospel partner. And once you hit that button, you're going to have the contact information for your gospel partner. If you're both sitting here, just one of you do it. And then that we'll get that information, and we'll communicate to you how the training is going to go. We'll get you all the information to you, and I promise you. Now, all you're committing to now is taking the training. Let God deal with you what those opportunities are going to be, and we'll coach you along the way. Here's all I can tell you. I've done it a million times. It's going to be a huge blessing in your life. God's going to use you to change somebody. Can I get amen? Amen. Okay, no, it's number two. My commitment to y'all is that I am going to do a better job from the pulpit equipping you to share your faith. Matter of fact, I am preparing right now to do a sermon series, plural, on the topic of apologetics to make sure you are equipped to know how to answer these questions and how to think through the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And so that's going to be a year or two, not away. We're going to start that, you know, after Easter, and we're going to go for a long time. I'm getting all up in that business of apologetics. So we want you to come here ready to get information so you can be prepared. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Third point, and then I'm going to show you a little movie. Third point is that we are going to equip you to walk with Jesus. You are not going to do this alone. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Your gospel partner is the beginning of your accountability, the beginning of your encouragement. We want all of you to be doing this with somebody, but we also want to be here for you as a family. And so when things happen, we want to get you in a small group. We want to get you around people that are going to encourage you so you don't get lost in all the minutia. But we need you to do your part. Sign up. We need you to do your part, and we'll follow up. And we'll go back and forth. Amen? Okay, so here's the thing. One of my favorite movies, and I'm going to leave you with this, and then we'll pray. My favorite movie of all time, period, ain't even close, is Remember the Titans. Anybody remember that movie? Okay. How many of you did not see Remember the Titans? Just so a few of you. Yeah. Father, forgive them for theirs. Father, Jesus. You need to go watch it. Please go tonight. Go to your house tonight and watch Remember the Titans. Now, in this movie, real quick, it is in the 50s, 1950s. Segregation, black people went to school with black people, white people went to school with white people, and this white high school was a state champ, perennial state champ, and whole school was white, and this black high school was also amazing, and they said, we're gonna put these schools together. The black kids are gonna go to the white school. Obviously, it was riots, it was protests, all this kind of stuff. It was back in the 50s, and the black team that came was coached by Denzel Washington. They made Denzel Washington the head coach in the white school, so obviously, it was a bunch of drama, and the whole movie's faced with a lot of drama, a lot of victory. It's an amazing movie. Make a long story short, by the end of the movie, the blacks and the whites in the school, for the most part, are like this, definitely on the team. And they're in a championship game, and the white coach who used to be the head coach, who is now an assistant to Denzel, is watching the white ref and the white coach and the other team cheat. They're throwing flags on everything. And the white coach goes out to the just walks on the field during the game and goes up to the ref and says, I know what you're doing. You're cheating my boys out of the championship. If you don't stop, I'm gonna sue you and expose everything you're doing. You're not gonna see that part of the movie. That's what happens. After the ref says, you know, you're ruining your career, blah, 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 he says, just mark my words, referee the game right. Then he goes to the sideline and he calls his defense to him and he's gonna give them a pep talk and basically he's gonna say, not one more yard. Now, if you don't like football or you have an issue with violence, there's violence in this video. And I mean violence, just, you know, just football hits. Boom, 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 boom. Here's what I want you to get. It's a metaphor. Denzel's team and the team of the coach you're going to see, they have white jerseys on. They are the Christians. Metaphor. The other team is the enemy, the devil. And they are not being defensive, they are being offensive. And what you need to know is that as you walk as a Christian, we think Christians are supposed to be, oh, nice, and oh, don't offend anybody. Let me tell you something, the devil is out to destroy your life. He wants to violate everything in your life that's good. He don't care about you, he don't care about your mother, he don't care about your father, he don't care about nothing. And he wants to destroy you. And if you don't think that praying is not warfare, you are misled. If you don't think worship is not warfare, if you don't think sharing your faith is not warfare, warfare for souls for eternity, way more important than a football game. So as you're watching this clip, I want you to be thinking about, are you in the game or are you sitting on the bench thinking you just want the trophy at the end? Or are you in the game? Now I'm not saying you gotta be all loud and yell at people, be all violent. You just gotta be about the business. And if we're going to learn how to share your faith, show up to the training. Fill the phone out, let's do this. And don't be a spectator. So play the video, but I want to make sure they can see him when he says, defense on me. Okay, let's pay attention. Let's get jacked up.
Defense on me.
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me?
Forget about him. Allen, you're in. Come on.
All right, now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure that they remember forever the night they played the Titans. Leave no doubt!
You gonna make yourself comfortable down there. Real comfortable.
Coach.
All right, baby. All right.
You brought us here, Coach.
Yeah. Run it up, Herman. Leave no doubt.
The last thing he said was leave no doubt. Leave no doubt when you leave here. We ain't trying to play politics. We ain't trying to play, you know, games. If you're gonna do this, let's do this. Don't play games. You will die and go to and stand before God and think you're getting into heaven. You say, I was at the Rock every week. He said, well, did you hear what he said? Because I know what he said. Well, you're either gonna do this or you're not. Now, every time you see one of those kids get hit, that's someone getting violated, that's someone getting killed, that's someone getting murdered, that's someone getting addicted, the devil taking advantage of someone's lives, and they're the people you know. And so this is what we need to do. The gospel is the only thing that works. You give someone $1 million, it ain't gonna save a soul. And every single one of you, God is saying, what's up? And like he said to that guy, Petey, you ain't in? Get somebody else. So let's bow for a word of prayer. And then if you get home and didn't fill that thing out, just text next steps to 52525. Fill it out and let's do this. Lord, thank you so much for 25 years, but we're just getting started. If you're sitting in your seat and you're saying, you know what, I gotta accept Jesus as my Savior. Well, now is your time. Today's the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. If you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. Jesus, I repent. I surrender my life to you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I want to live for you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are confessing your life to Jesus. So on the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet. One, two, three, stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.